Working?
Yes.
Thank you. I wanted to start this morning by talking about something I had read on the internet, which of course is the source of all knowledge and wisdom, right? Now, there was an article on dysfunctional bosses, and I'm here to tell you that I always read those articles because that's one thing I don't want to be, right? And one of the points caught my attention. It talked about when you're walking along and you don't acknowledge one of your employees and how hurt they can feel from that. And I thought, if I've ever done that to any of you, please forgive me. The article went on to say that many bosses, I'm even probably going to tell you that most of them are introverts. And as an introvert, and it makes sense that an introverted boss would be one who sets goals and sets direction and is not necessarily as strong in the interpersonal skills, right? So what happens is these introverted bosses are walking along thinking, well, if I see them, but I don't feel like talking to them because I really want to talk to myself or whatever we do within ourselves, then the person who says, okay, why didn't you talk to me, feels hurt. And it's very interesting. I have one son, my youngest, Justin, took the Myers-Briggs, and he came back at 87% extroverted. He's the opposite of me. And he said, oh, you know, that's just not right. I'm going to take it again. Took it again. It came out 100% extroverted. He said, no, that's right. You have to laugh, don't you? You love these kids? And it was interesting. I was talking with him once, and I said, you know, I can't imagine anybody would want to talk to me, which is the introverted mindset, right? You think, I'm an okay person, but, you know, not all that interesting. He looked at me and he said, everybody wants to talk to me. Ah, the difference between introverted and extroverted. So when your introverted boss goes by and she doesn't acknowledge you, take it as a problem with her and not you. That's just an aside. And it probably goes for some of our other introverted bosses as well. So please, if I have offended you, please forgive me. And I mentioned it to John, and he said, oh, Sarita, all you have to do is just nod your head as you go by. I'm thinking, huh, how easy. Next time. Some of us would just like to be smarter than we are. Today I do want to talk about one of our life lessons. I've kind of called it the Beyond the 3R series. As homeschooling moms, we have an opportunity to raise up kids in more areas than just teaching them to love to read, which we talked about, and to love history, and to understand the math concepts, and all those kinds of things that we want to definitely pour into the lives of our kids. Today I wanted to talk about organization, which I think a lot of us struggle with. And I thought I'd start with that old phrase, you know, everything in its place and a place for everything. You're thinking, okay, we have heard that one 1,000 times. And I thought I'd like to try to unpack that a little bit, because there's a lot of wisdom even in that little phrase. And I thought I would do it from an angle of an example in my own life. I am one of those people that's big on a place for everything, and that's kind of where I live. So when you come to my house, it's normally neat. I think Jill came once to my house, and I had my grandchildren over, and we had toys on every corner of the room, and I thought, oh, this isn't how we normally live. But it's okay, because it was a season. So I wanted to talk about when I walk in my front door or when I walk in from my car, what do? First thing I do is I hang my keys up on the ring right there. It's the first thing I do. Second thing I do is I take off my shoes, open the closet door, and slide them in the same slot every single day. Third thing I do is take my coat off, hang it on the hanger that I always use, the same hanger. In our house, I have double rods, and John has the top rod, and I have the bottom rod. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, Sarita, you are so compulsive. But you know, I thought about it and I thought, makes a lot of sense. I never have to think which hanger I'm going to, right? I don't have multiple hangers that get entangled with one another, right? I go, chunk, here's my coat, pull it out, put it on, go away again. My keys are always on the rack. And I think, okay, the goal with having everything in its place and a place for everything is that you don't have to think about it, right? You're on autopilot. This is after you've trained yourself, this is so easy. I never think about where my shoes are. They're always in this particular slot. Chunk, John's. And if he puts it in the wrong place, I change them. Wait, you can't do that. Because he's not quite as orderly as I am. Compulsive, maybe, is the better word. Okay, so what happens when I walk in the door and the phone is ringing and I don't have time to hang up my keys? Run and answer the phone, but what I do is I set my keys down on the counter and I look at them and I take a picture of it. It's a snapshot that I say. And that's where I think when you have a place for everything, you don't have to use brain cells to remember where stuff is. When you're in an unusual situation, like putting your keys in the wrong spot, you look at them and you click, there they are. So then when you're going, oh, I wonder where I put my keys, you go, oh, they're right there on the counter where I had left them. The goal is to have as few of those moments as you can, because I'm here to tell you the brain cells don't work as well as when you get older. So you want to make sure you want to put things away where they belong. Let me see if I've covered that all. Oh, and then the fourth thing that I do, I hang my purse on a hook that I have in my closet. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but you can get these little slick hooks that go over the door, top of the door. There's my purse. Wow, I never have to look for my purse either. Suppose I come in with an armload of books like I always do from Sunlight. I have a table that's kind of near the entryway there, and it's got some cute things on it. Just looks nice, right? And I put that pile of stuff there, but that's not allowed to stay there, okay? One more thing. After I put everything in the closet, I close the door. Wow, instant neat, right? It's amazing how much nicer the house looks when everything's kind of put away, right? So when you walk in my house, there's not coats laying there. We had Amy and her four boys come, and the very first day they came, you know, everybody took their shoes off, because we have, I'm Dutch, and you take your shoes off when you come in my house. And they all had them off, like good boys that they are, and I thought, I'm going to kill myself walking all over all these shoes. I went and got a basket, because of course they don't have a slot in my closet. So they very faithfully put their shoes in the basket that was by the door. So that's another way of kind of organizing your life. And then they can rumble through their shoes. I don't want to. So when the books are on the table here, those get right away picked up. I sort them. These are duplicates that I have. This is one I'm going to pass to somebody else. This one goes in my pile of books to choose. It does not stay on that table. So again, the idea being everything in its place and a place for everything to free up the brain for the things that are very important to do. Oh, I talked about, let's see. Oh, suppose your closet is too crowded. How many of us have closet too crowded? Then the goal is to get rid of stuff you don't wear. Most of us have things in our closet that don't allow you to easily put your coat in there, or you easily put your... Then you say, okay, I haven't worn this in too long. Let me pass it on to somebody who really does need a coat or a sweatshirt or whatever it might be. In our house, what I try to do is if I bring something new in, I try to get rid of something else, because your life can just get overwhelmed by all the precious things that we have, and they can actually slow us down. If it's too hard to put your coat in the closet because it's too full, you're wasting precious time. It's just not worth having too many things in your closet. I'll try to deal with it and that's what I kind of mentioned, try to deal with it as it comes in. Pile of books. The first thing I do is I have a pile on the table and I say, this one goes here, this one goes here, this one goes here, and they get disseminated right away. Same thing you can do with mail or pieces of paper that come in. The goal is, and I hear this as well as again and again, try to touch things only once. You know, you bring in the mail, junk, 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 gets directly into the trash, right? The things that need to be dealt with, well, then you eventually have a bin and you make sure you go through that bin on a regular basis. Again, you're trying to synthesize how things are coming in. I guess one other thing that I'd like to recommend that you do is model to your children just looking at these different kinds of things. So when your kids come in, you say, okay, let's put our coat away, let's put our shoes away. You're modeling to them how to organize their life. And if they're one of, like some of us always have a messy one, I do, and who just throws his things down, you're really helping their future spouse if you can train them on how to do that appropriately, right? And isn't that the goal? Keep as much tension and friction down as we can. One final thing is, if you go out somewhere, I think this is another thing we can model for our children. Suppose you go to a restaurant or go to a play or whatever it might be that you do with your children. Model to them stopping and saying, do we have everything? Such a simple thing. But how many times has it been that you get home and you go, wow, did I leave my sunglasses behind? Or did I leave whatever it was behind? If we stop, again, it's kind of that same idea of take a snapshot when you're looking at something that you've said in the wrong place. You're in an odd place. Your stuff isn't in its normal place. So we need a new and a better and a different technique. We need to stop and glance around. It's all part of that training and looking. I think when you get to the point where you actually take snapshots and kind of are aware of what your world looks like, you get to the point where you almost know when you walk into a room when something's out of place. Now, don't test me on this because I'm not sure I could totally do it. But it is one of those things where if you are so aware of where things go and where they belong, you can walk in and almost be aware enough to be able to fix things as they arise. So could it be that we train up our children to be orderly and organized? And I'm here to tell you that one day their spouses will thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.